How many of y'all are thankful to be at another Christmas? Anybody here thankful to be at another Christmas? Some of us in this room, you may be like me, Christmas has come quicker than they used to. I don't know about you, but my life kind of seems like this now. Christmas, Easter, July the 4th, Christmas. And it kind of in that clicking phase. And I know somewhere in between there, there better be the living of Christ between, you know, Christmas, Easter, July the 4th, and Christmas again. Now, it's probably not moving quite that fast at 9:30 or quite that fast at 11 o'clock service, but it's moving a little faster in 8 o'clock than it used to. So it's brought to mind this question. I kind of looked up. Elizabeth and I celebrated this week being together in marriage for 28 years. And we looked at one of the things we do is, I know y'all are clapping for Elizabeth. Because what y'all are clapping about, we've just given witness to those of you who think the impossible cannot be worked out. Our marriage is a verification that God will. We were not most likely to stay married. We weren't voted that by the crowd. They were guessing when it would dissolve sometimes, especially Elizabeth's mama. And but you know what? We held on. We learned to love Lonnie. And Rita just gave a powerful testimony. I mean, today, if you want to know what love is, you know, a lot of times we like to hallmark it up, don't we? We like to put it in an unrealistic expectation. We want the snow to fall and it all be nice, you know, and everybody look perfect. But I want to tell you, love holds things together when things aren't perfect. I mean, I hope you get that. Love stays when everything else goes away. That's truly love. And I think love is something we know little about in our culture. I don't think we love much in America. We lust a lot and love little. I think we have traded in love for likability, for momentary hyperness, for the tingles. We love the tingles in America. I mean, tingles are big business in America. Multi-billion-dollar business tingles. You know, we create tingle moments and there'll be tingle TV shows on. They're not real. That's one of the things that messes up all of our families is watching these TV families. They correct problems in a matter of 23 minutes and 7 seconds. And none of us correct problems in 23 minutes and 7 seconds. And we tend to lose insight that, guess what? God's love is there. God's love will stay. God's love cannot go away. God's love wins in the end. God's love. In fact, Jesus was so serious about it that as he begins to ascend into heaven and he prepares the disciples for another overwhelming event in their journey with Jesus, that I'm not going to be with you physically anymore. I will be seated in heaven, but my spirit will come and my reality will be as real in spirit as it was if I was with you in flesh. Remember, I am God in the flesh, Jesus tells those disciples over and over and over again. And he tells the disciples, he says, now remember this. They won't know that you follow me by the way you practice religion. But we've messed that one up over and over and over again, hadn't we? And really, contrary to a lot of my colleagues, especially at this moment in time, they won't know you by your theological doctrine. They won't know you by that because that'll just sound like mumbo jumbo in the ears of those who don't know Jesus. But he said, they will know that you're my disciples by the way you love. The unmistakable trademark of Jesus is love. We learn it if we have the opportunity to grow up in church. We learn about love. We learn one of our first theological concepts is God is love. And then as we become adults, we tend to forget first concept. God is love. It's not God talks about love. It's not that God teaches love. It's not that God has just these concept moments of love. Guess what? The scripture says God is love. Hillview, if there's one thing that's held us together, guess what it is? It's love. You know, I thought about it. I said, man, somehow or another, we're celebrating our 21st Christmas together. How did that happen? We're old enough to drink eggnog as a church. You know, Baptist eggnog. The only time Baptists sneak and don't feel guilty is at Christmas. But in those 21 Christmases, you know what? What's really held us together? It's not been anything that we've done. And we've done a lot of things. I thought about all the Christmases. I thought about the packages. I thought about the first Christmases. I thought about Betty Lois teaching me how to floral curtains. I never will forget, Betty Lois, when you looked at me and said, you need to floral that. And I said, Betty Lois, what are you talking about? I've never floraled anything. I said, Betty Lois, I played football. I did not do well in home ec. You got to help me, girl. She taught me how to floral the curtain. So I went home and told Elizabeth, we need to floral that right there. And Elizabeth said, somebody told you that. But together, by surrendering to God, many of us in this room have navigated 21 Christmases together. And everything that goes in between that. Some of those years have been full of excitement of seeing people come to the Lord, and others of those years have been moments where we wondered if the ship was going to hold together. Some of those years have been a lot of corn in the barn, and others of those years, it's gradually come into the barn. We've had moments, God, will you come through, or have we made a bad mistake? We've been through those journeys, but guess what? I have found my whole life that God's ahead of where we are. How many of you all that brings that? That's my first sign of hope. God is ahead of where we are. God knows what's going to happen before we get there. And so I want to bring you to the night of Christmas. The night of Christmas. And I hope I don't bust your bubble too bad. For those of you that are guests with us, if you're still locked into a Hallmark Christmas, it's not a very powerful one because it's the Christmas we painted and not the script that God wrote. First of all, I want you to know that Jesus was born in the night. And I think it's very significant that Jesus was born in the night. He was born in the night. Especially in the Gospel of John, it takes a lot of time to make sure we know Jesus came into a world of darkness. And the world by itself is dark. Everybody get that? Without Jesus, there's no light. Without Jesus, there's no light. And even with Jesus, guess what we get? With the full revelation of God, even with the full revelation of God, which is more than enough. You ready for this? It is as a dim reflection of what will be. This is how powerful the love of God is. And so that early Christmas, if you'll look in the scripture, we got shepherds out on the hillside. Did y'all pick up on that? We're just talking about the shepherds were where? On the hillside. Come on, you all know that. You all have been through. Some of you have been through 105 Christmas plays. You ought to know this story by now. If nothing else, out of rote memory. And the shepherds were where? And what were they doing? What time of year do you go watch your sheep at night? How many of you all would have loved to gone sheep watching last night? Billy, you... I don't know if you'd have been a shepherd, but you have been around cows. Been around sheep much? No, you didn't do sheep. Just seed and cows, huh? All right. But would you, even as a cattleman, would you have liked to gone out and watched? Well, let me get a real cattleman. Jack, would you, Billy just fed them. You raised them. You know what I mean? Jack, you're a cattleman. All your life you've been a cattle guy. Do you take the cattle? And we're sitting on Steve over here on the other end of cattle guy. Would you take your cattle out on the hills last night? It's 22 degrees. So watch this. Here's what I'm telling you. We celebrate Christmas in December. Most likely the actual birth was in a warmer time of the year. Okay, so I just want you to be informed. Don't December the 25th is not the actual date and birth. Okay, so don't go be foolish and Because you'll have atheist type of people. Well, December the 21st, 25th is not the actual birth of Christ. I go, no, duh. I mean, boy, that took an IQ of 3. I said, but I'm glad that you are willing to start to admit that Jesus was born. Because you see, everything changes when Jesus is born. How many of y'all understand that everything in the world changed because Jesus is born? And Jesus gets in whether we try to shut him out or not. We celebrated about 12 years ago one of the greatest celebrations in the world, and everybody missed it. It was the change of the millennium. Jesus had been resurrected for 2,000 years. We thought we were going in to a millennium, but Jesus was declared in the heavens for 2 millenniums. Because we even set our calendar. Before and after. Not just Christ. After what? His death. That's how pivotal this moment is in history. Jesus reset the calendar. That everything before Christ was different than everything that's after Christ. So we got shepherds out on the hills. Probably a warm night. Now, this is amazing to me, but we have a government system demanding and telling the people what to do on the night that Christ is born. Can you all imagine this? What went out from Caesar Augustus? Many of you, tomorrow night, if you remember this as a child, and in our house, we read the Christmas story, and at Elizabeth's house, we read the Christmas story. And when I first started becoming a part of Elizabeth's family, we would gather there for Christmas, and I was always assigned most of the time the Christmas story because I was going to be a preacher. So they thought I should know how to read the Bible, and I didn't read the story real well, so Henry would give me that assignment, hoping over the years eventually I would get better. And I never forget, there was a decree. What went out? Does anybody know what happens when a king gives a decree? Come on, talk to me. Somebody said it. You do it or die. You do it or die. And so I just want you to know, for those of us sometimes that grow anxious about government systems, they haven't changed at all. They haven't changed at all. They like to give decrees. A decree went out from Caesar. Oh, by the way, where is Caesar now? Let me ask you a question. Did we reset the calendar according to Caesar's birth and death?
No.
Do many of you wake up in the morning and say, "Dear Caesar, I understand the decrees that you set, and they will guide my life today"? No, the great Caesar became more like Rudolph. Had a few nice songs about him, and he faded off into Wonderland. But the Christ that came at night, that light still shines. How many of y'all are glad to know that that light still shines? And so it's a simple message this morning. I'm going to ask you as a church, and I'm going to ask you to recharge a little bit here. I'm going to ask you to reevaluate a little bit here, and I'm going to ask you to re-energize a little bit here. I want you to know that you have something that if we had at Christmas, it would be amazing. Christmas morning, this is a freebie today, too. What is one thing it takes to make Christmas happen on Christmas morning? You got food. You got to have some food. We're down south. You got to fry something. I mean, it's just not Christmas if you don't fry something in the morning. I mean, is he going to be going to fry some good country ham? I'm going to have some country ham. And the doctor may say it makes my blood pressure go up, but I'm going to be running high octane on Christmas morning. I'm probably going to eat a big old biscuit with butter on it. And I'm going to tell my arteries, receive this to the glory of God. It's Christmas morning. How many of y'all going to eat some desserts you know are killing you as you eat them, but they're too good to resist? That's Christmas morning. It's Christmas morning. But you got to have this on Christmas, especially in today's type of Christmas. You start exchanging toys, what are most of those toys going to need? Batteries. How many of y'all have ever had the Christmas? This usually happens over at the grandparents' house. You get something that needs a battery, and there's no batteries in the house. How many of y'all have ever had that happen? How many of y'all have ever had a, how many of y'all have ever seen, now listen, you don't, the Grinch ain't got nothing on this creature right here. A five-year-old without the battery for the toy they've just received. What will go on there? Oh, that's a bad scene. What will that five-year-old do? Come on, y'all been there. I hope you don't, listen, I'm saving you grief Tuesday morning if you listen to me. What will that five-year-old do? Well, I mean, some of them are nice than that. Come on, give five-year-olds a little bit of break. They'll stop. What will they keep doing?
Scream and cry.
Okay, scream and cry. We have an expert up here on the third row. You have a five-year-old brother?
I don't.
Oh, you don't. But you've been, he's only three. You wait 2 years from now, you need to start praying right now for what's going to happen. That child, how many times will he go this? Grandma, you got some batteries. Granddaddy, you got some batteries. I need some batteries. Can we go get some? How many times will they ask? You just wait, Chase. You remember this 5 years from now. How many times will they ask? Until what happens? You know, that's what the love of God does. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit does. It keeps drawing. It keeps asking. It keeps showing. It keeps coming. It goes over and over and over and over again. It doesn't just tell it on the mountain. It tells it in the city. It tells it in the valley. It goes to the ghetto. It will go to where the church refuses to go. And it keeps saying, do you see me? Do you want to know me? Love does not stop. And I tell you, Hillview, my prayer for all of us is the love of God will get in us like it did in Jesus. And we'll be a little more like that five-year-old kid. Have you received him yet? Do you know him yet? Do you know what could happen? Can you imagine if we had the passion to tell the world about Jesus that a five-year-old does to make sure that battery, those two double A's, get in that little car that they just received so it can crawl up the wall and back down? Y'all remember those days? I remember a Christmas like that. For me, it was a 9-volt battery. Now, I'm very primitive. My technology is very limited. For some of you kids, you're going to look at me and go, man, Pastor Steve, that's cheap. That's cheesy. But back in the day, Mattel had come out with a football game. Being it did not have three-dimensional players in it. It was nothing like Madden. It was a portable game. Some of you in your 40s and beyond remember this game. Had like four guys and a little stick, and you'd move them and you'd run plays. And I had gotten one of those for Christmas. But guess what was left out? Oh. Do y'all know what it... Now, I'm a very shy child. Y'all may pick up on this. Sometimes if I want something, I can keep that on until that happens. Pastor Mark has been through these. We don't have a battery experiences. Like, Mark, can we do this? And he goes, you know, Steve, that's going to cost about $10 million. Mark, what is $10 million to a God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? Mark's response is, well, when he sells some of those cows and sends me a check. See, I have an idea, and Mark's got a reality. I want the battery. I remember that Christmas, Timmy, that battery was gone. This is back in Christmases of old. Guess what was open? Nothing. I mean, if you got sick on Christmas back in the old days, you heading to Kirby. There wasn't no, hey, the druggist was having Christmas. You need some drugs, you get them in the morning. You know? That's what I loved about Christmas. I hope we don't lose that in our culture. And if we're going to lose it in our culture, I hope you don't lose it in your culture. As I grew older, you know what I love about Christmas, Don? It's the only day out of 365 days that we'll all be silent together. And one of the things our culture needs is a couple more silent moments. We're always busy. We're always moving. And you see, what Jesus did for the moment when he was born, he silenced the traffic. He silenced the traffic, the motion. He paused it and said, God is love. That first Christmas was as busy as Scottsville Road yesterday. Scottsville Road looked like a parking lot. And people in Bowling Green, when it gets crowded, we don't know how to drive. See, in Puerto Rico, they know how to drive, man. They beep horns and just cut each other off. I drove in New York a few years ago. I loved it, man. You got to have a NASCAR license to drive in New York. You know what's cool about New York? You can ride bumpers the whole time. Elizabeth was going, these people drive like you do. I said, they got some sense. Somebody ain't going to go on, get up there and help them. Be neighborly. Yeah, save gas too, riding that draft off that other guy's bumper there. Yesterday is crowded. You know what I saw yesterday? Frantic people. And it occurred to me, we try so hard to make a holiday, we miss it. You see, and the whole thing of God is not you are the hope and you are the peace and you are the joy and you are the love. That's not the message of the Advent. The message of the Advent is this: Jesus has become our hope. Jesus is our peace. Jesus is our joy. And the love of Jesus makes the other three possible. I'm going to take you to that familiar verse of Scripture, but it applies to this night. Did I tell you on the night that Jesus was born, it was dark? And let me help you. In some parts of our world, it still is. And in some parts of our lives, it still is. I want you to hear these words like you've never heard them. Because what came into the world on that night, in the midst of the government demanding taxes, they had a census and a tax at the same time. How happy do you think people were in Bethlehem? You know, we got these, well, how happy are you when somebody takes your money? Come on, be honest. Huh? I don't know about you, but I guarantee you they didn't enjoy giving their money up any more 2,000 years ago than we do today. I started grinning. My Christmas has been filled on the radio with the discussion of the what? Fiscal cliff. I have never in my life seen politics where everything is a crisis. Every moment's a crisis. Everything goes on, it's a crisis. A fiscal cliff. Last time I checked, there's some things you got to do. You got to eat. It doesn't look like America has lacked in that much at all. Like I told you, I have very few skinny people coming to my office that are starving and in need of food. I'm telling the truth. I don't see the hunger that, God help us, other parts of this world really see. I don't see a poverty in the United States of America where stability is I ate today one meal. Do you? We've become so absolutely full of what we do, it's hard for even us to tell we're in the night. It's loud in Bethlehem. I'm sure there were complaints in Bethlehem. It was dusty. I don't know if you've ever been to the Middle East, but one of the things when I'm in the Middle East that gets me, it's kind of like being on the beach. How many of y'all have ever been on the beach? I know the beach is beautiful, people that love all the beach and stuff, but you know one of the things that irritates me about the beach? Sand. It gets everywhere. You'll have sand in your ears. How you get sand in your ears? I mean, you lean over and boom, there's sand crystals in your ears. There's sand everywhere. Well, guess what? In the Middle East, there's a dusty, sandy everywhere. Some of you have served our country in the Middle East. You know what I'm talking about. It's constantly a film of sand. Mary and Joseph, that baby, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, have been in the dust to get to the city of bread. The city of what? I am the bread. That's what Jesus said. And he's born where? The city of bread. Because that's exactly where the prophet said he would be born. Because everything about Jesus is God. Everything about Jesus is God. Amen. And here's what I love about Jesus. There's nothing we can do to keep him out. And there's nothing we can do to bring him in. He's going to come when he comes. Expecting mothers, it's kind of like a child. You know when they're going to be born? When it's time. And they're born. And Jesus is born. And on a dusty night, a lot of anxiety. And then to me, here's the height of it. Reverend Jeff, I always feel about Joseph. I think about Joseph. I want to give Joseph some cred. I mean, I'm all into the Blessed Mary, holy woman, favorite of God, given the gift to carry the Savior. That's amazing. But what about old Joseph? Now, if this isn't a ringer, first of all, you got to go through that your wife's pregnant and you know you hadn't had anything to do with it. That's intense. And then can you imagine this? How many of you all, this has ever happened to you? This has really happened to you. You've gone somewhere, you thought you had reservations, and when you arrived, they did not have your room. Has that happened to any of your human beings? You've gone somewhere, it's not home, and they don't have your room. That's happened to me more than once. You get there, and I'm supposed to have a room here, such and such said, here's my confirmation number. It's always some sweet little girl. Sir, I'm sorry, we don't have your confirmation number. Well, you better find it. They said he'd be here. Watch it. Joseph finally gets to the place that the child is to be born, probably hoping that it doesn't happen here in Bethlehem. Can we get back home so this baby can be born? And he gets to the innkeeper. He says, sir, we have confirmation number 666205. He says, sir, I'm sorry, we don't have your number. We're out of rooms. We're out of rooms. There's no room in the... Well, we've replayed that one almost full circle, haven't we, in 2,000 years. Not a lot of room for Jesus in our culture. He's scary. We got 3% of the population. If they see a nativity scene, this brings such great offense unto them that they cannot look at it and it causes them to go in cardiac arrest and other crazy things. We're so politically correct and sensitive in the world today that we can't even tell the truth. We're scared to say everything except Jesus. We can be filthy, but not faithful. We have the freedom to market and proclaim the filth of the world in the name of Jesus sends terror into the night. Still does. I mean, I just get tickled. I didn't know plastic nativity scenes were so violent. And I've always said, if you're an atheist, what difference does it make anyway? You believe it's a myth, so why do you get all cranked up? You know, I don't believe, no offense, kids, but I don't believe Mickey Mouse is magical. But I don't go in great protest every time I see somebody wearing a set of big ears. Really doesn't bother me. But you know why Jesus brings tension into the world? Because he's real. And he brings the truth. In the middle of the night, because he comes with the batteries. And the angels sing. And the star goes brighter than ever seen in human history. And God brings all people to him. The working class shepherds. The heavenly hosts that we're not aware of. The intellectual crowd shows up. And the government goes wild. This Christmas season, we've had to deal with a hideous massacre. About 2 years after the birth of Jesus, they had to deal with another hideous massacre. They did not have semi-automatic weapons, but since the birth of humanity and the act of sin, we've always found something to kill each other with. First killing was in the garden, Genesis, no semi-automatic weapons. But Cain managed to destroy the life of Abel, or at least his physical existence. Do y'all realize this, that About 2 years after the birth of Jesus, King Herod was very upset that the king of the Jews had been born, and he did not want anybody to take his kingdom. And so he issued another decree that all two-year-olds, those are preschoolers, younger than the ones we have seen with such a hideous act, he had them murdered to eliminate the risk of another king coming. If you look through our human history, we don't fare real well with love. We do a lot better with tyranny, with tragedy, and with takeover. We struggle with love. Why? Because love does not demand its own way. Love does not glorify us, but love does what? It brings the power of God into the world. And it still does. Merry Christmas. I want you to know that on the dark of night and on the darkest days, God still comes. I want you to know that there's not a tension in this culture today that has not been seen throughout history over and over again. And the good news is this: our God has seen it all, knows it all, and still comes. Don't ever forget that, church. And sometimes we tend to forget that. And you know what I'm really asking y'all to do? It's time for us to stand up. I'm not asking us to yell. I'm not asking us to shout. I'm not asking us to do religious dances, because I like to have at least a little bit of sense. We've done all that for 50 years. It hadn't worked. You know why it hadn't worked, Don? Because that's not what God asked us to do. If you look in the scripture, God asked us to stand firm. That's all he asked us to do. He says, "The battle is mine, as saith the Lord." And guess what's the one thing we have a hard time doing? Stand firm. Don't let people move you away from Jesus, because guess what? Jesus cannot be moved. Because even when the innkeeper says there's no room in the inn, God says, no problem. I'll take what man considers low and make it a high place. I'll take what man has thrown away and bring it into righteousness. I will go where they look away, and I will look into and bring them to grace. For me, your pastor, these words of Scripture have driven my life. For those who believe in sophisticated theology, it may not be sophisticated enough, but I found sophisticated theologies have very little effect on the reality of people. I've studied them all. I've never had a friend crushed by sin wanting to know my theological position, but they sure have wanted to know my Jesus. I've never seen one who's lost a loved one want to hear my systematic diatribe, but I tell you what they've wanted to hear. The love of Jesus spoke into the darkness of their night. For God, not for man, not for intellect, not for technology. For God so loved the world. Who? Who does? Let me ask you a question. Have any of y'all read any headlines lately? Even in some very, very, very sophisticated and prominent journal pieces where God has quit loving the world. Has anybody heard the angel say, God doesn't love you anymore? I haven't heard that either. That's why I have good news of great joy. That's why I want to tell it. That's why the mountain's still there. That's why hope is still prominent. Peace still possible. Joy a way of life. And love undefeatable. That's why. For God so loved the. Check this out. This is why we give on Christmas. Not so the economy can improve, but so that we might understand, for God so loved the world that he and he alone gave his one and only son. Now, I'd read that scripture for years. Chase, I never understood that scripture. I mean, I went to seminary. I had all that. I had John Borchardt, the at that time, the expert in the Gospel of John. Taught all over the world, Gospel of John. And Mark, I mean, we took it apart in the Greek and we looked at its movement and its motion, but guess what? I understood that. the first Christmas I held my son in my arms. The first time I became a father. And at Christmas time, there was this big-headed little boy. He wasn't laying in a manger. He was in one of those swingy things. I said, God, I don't get it, but I get it better than I used to. Brooks, I follow him, but I still can't totally understand how God could so love the world that he sends his only son into the world. And I believe the words of Christ. I love those red letters. Merle, right now I'm preaching the red letters. Paul didn't say this. Peter didn't say this. Al Mohler didn't say this. John Piper didn't say this. Charles Spurgeon didn't say this. Aquinas didn't say this. Augustine didn't say this. Origen didn't say this. These are people that said a lot of stuff. Oprah didn't say this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only. That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have, guess what? Eternal life, everlasting life, life that goes on. Merry Christmas. There will never be a moment since the birth of Jesus where darkness defeats light. There's never been a moment where darkness can defeat light. And now you have the opportunity to be much like the innkeeper. There's no room in my life for your possibilities, Jesus. There's no room for you. God will still say, even if you say that, I love you. I love you. I love you. And I think the Spirit will still want to draw you to his possibilities. But guess what you can say? Lord, my mind's pretty dark. And when I look at a reflection of my life, it represents a lot of my thinking. How many of you have lived long enough that it's been about you long enough you're tired of it being about you? How many of you found out that all the great things you were supposed to do, you did them and they weren't as great as everybody promised? How many of you have been living the American dream and found that it turned out to be a human nightmare? Chuck, you and Ann tried that for a minute, didn't you? You got in one of those RVs and it wasn't half cracked up as what they said it was when you were 30, was it? You went to one of them good Sam's clubs and you found out the toilet smelled bad and you liked your house better. That was the American dream, especially of your era. You know, live, work hard, get to 65, get in an RV, run around all of America, collect stickers and die. You know what God's dream is? And his isn't a dream, it's a reality. That you would be a whosoever that receives him into your life and all your sin is forgiven and the love of God fills your life and the possibilities of God fill your life and you start living and walking in the ways of the Lord and at the moment of your last breath you step into heaven for eternity. That's God's desire. And that's not a dream. And that's not just a Christmas present. Jesus Christ became the gift that once opened, nobody could return. You can push him aside. You can pretend he's not there. You can call him a myth. You can do all the things that people try to do. And guess what, Jamie? Nobody's going to wrap him back up again, and nobody's going to put him back in his place because he is God and he is love. And he is forever. You want to turn Christmas on in your life? Receive Christ. So how do I do that? Well, you got to realize who you are. How many of y'all realize all of us have sinned in this room? Now, I know as soon as I've said that, you looked around the room and said, well, I haven't done what such and such has done. I understand. You probably haven't. Some of you look at me and say, well, Ayers, I conduct myself better than you. You're not really setting yourself at a high standard. You know what's going to be so sad? Those of you who try, man, and I know it breaks my heart because there's going to be so many people, especially in the South, that go to hell because they tried to save themselves through their goodness. And what breaks my heart, there's been so much shallow preaching to the South over the years that it's about good morals and it's about the way you conduct yourself. There's going to be so many disappointed people in hell that their morals could not get them to heaven. You see, because the night is dark and JD, there's only one light. And it's not my light, it's God's light. And Jesus said, whosoever believes in me, whoever comes to me and asks me to forgive them, there I will, says Jesus. He does, doesn't he, Nick? And you can say, and Nick, you've got enough years and time under your belt. Guess what you can say now with full testimony? It works.
It does.
I'm not what I used to be.
Thank Jesus.
You played in the night, didn't you? Mm-hmm. All that's there is dark.
Right.
And you have lived in the light. Best you can do in the night is play. But in the light of God, you get to live. Live, church. If you've not received Christ, you got the opportunity to do that today and have a real Christmas. If you've not been baptized, you got the opportunity to do that all day tomorrow. 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and any time in between. Any time in between. I promise you, if you come to us and say, Pastor Ayers, I want to be baptized at 5 o'clock in the morning on Christmas Eve. Jamie will be right here ready to baptize you with the glory of God in his life. Jamie is ready for that. Makes sense? He'll have his little Jim Trestle vest on and be ready to baptize you. All right? I don't care when it is. I would ask you to do this. I want you to think about this. Before we go into a new year, why don't you make sure you got everything squared up with God? If you haven't been baptized, let's get that taken care of. Because we got to go tell it. And you know what I found? You cannot tell what you don't have. Do you realize the reason the church doesn't share the gospel? Rabbi Brett, I hate to say this. I hate to say what's fixing to come out of my mouth. I hate to say it, brother. But I think I'm accurate here. There could be some margin for error. But I'm asked all the time, why doesn't the church share a lot about Jesus? I said, well, the great problem is most of the church doesn't know a lot about Jesus, Barry. Listen to what they talk about. Ham. Because they cook all the time. But you know what he told us to do? He said, go tell them. Go tell them I've died. Go tell them I've risen. Go tell them I live. But most of all, make sure you tell them they can too. They can too. And guess what? We don't have enough pastors to tell them all. We got 328 million people in the United States of America. That's just in the Americas. In this United States of America. We got almost 7 billion human beings spinning on the globe right now. Isn't that amazing? 1.2 million of them are part of Islam. Another 1.3 million of them proclaim Christianity. Folks, let me help you. If there was 1.3 billion real Christians in this world, you couldn't have the world we have today. You could. That's too much light for one world. So it's time for us to receive the love of God, turn the love of God on in us, and then tell the world where to get it. It's just that simple. Amen. Did y'all get this today? Thanks for being a church that loves Jesus. Because guess what that means? You've received Christmas. If you love Jesus. And I hope in the next 48 to 72 hours as we celebrate the birth of Christ to the world, that we will really tell the world what the birth of Christ does in our lives. Amen. Let's stand together and let's pray and just come pray over our communities, our cities, your families. Lord, I thank you that you came at night And when they said there was no room, you made some. Lord, for those of us that doubt your possibilities today, convince us through your love of how powerful you are. Lord, I pray that whoever needs to receive Christ will receive Christ. I pray whoever needs to come and be baptized will be baptized. I pray, Lord, whoever doubts your power will connect with it. But Lord, most of all, I pray this. I pray for every avenue that this church goes through the week. And we'll simply do this. Lord, I pray that we don't argue. And I pray that we would not be obnoxious to the world. But I pray we would do this. We would speak up steadfastly. And we would stand firmly in what we believe. And Lord, may the world and may the speech of the night not convince those in the light to step away from a bright star, a manger. The wise men from the east, kings and governments that have tried to shut you down, God, over the millenniums. May we be reminded, Lord, that those with powerful technologies in history past, those who've come against your message are now logged into the moments of history. But today in the 21st century, in 2012, on the 23rd of December, we're still speaking your name, Jesus. Thanks for being our love. Amen. Let's come. This altar's open. If nothing else, let's come and give thanks. For God so loves the world. He does. He does. He does.